If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Conor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Hero or Zero. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking one comic book character, as we do every single week. We talk their good points and their bad points, and we generally just give you a bit of a rundown of everything to do with that character. As always, I am joined by my partner in crime, my best pal, Mr. Sean Mead. Sean, how's it going?
Good, Conor. End of a long week. Happy to talk about comic books with my friend. There's no hatred in this episode. There's no Marvel DC divide, I've decided.
Is this a love episode? Are we back together?
Yeah. It's the start of summer. Things are starting to look up. Everyone gets a bit more sunshine in their day.
I give it Why up not? To maybe 4 minutes.
Hey, that depends entirely on the character you've picked, my friend.
Well, look, as I said, you normally, because this is, we talk about comic book characters, you normally talk Marvel characters. I normally talk DC characters. And last week you talked about one of the worst Marvel characters of all time, and you couldn't say it out about all of them because some of them are very good, because there's now no more hatred.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that.
Big Wheel was his name.
Big Wheel. He's the worst character with the biggest wheel.
Yeah, literally. I cannot take it away from the man that he has the biggest wheel in Marvel. That's all I'm going to say. And I will not say anything negative further, because we are now on a positive stroke.
I don't like this.
There's no meat. We can't get 52 weeks out of this.
What are we doing here?
If you are interested, we have also got a few movie reviews coming out recently. And we recently reviewed Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi, over on our Patreon. If you want to check that out.
One of my personal favourites, everybody.
Because yesterday was May 4th, and just in time, we had a Star Wars review all lined up and ready to go.
It's like it's planned or something, Connor. It's like we had a meeting beforehand, and we're like, what should we do for May the 4th?
So, you've probably seen it on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. The videos kind of got out promoting it, but like, if you want to check out the full review, that is on over on our Patreon there. We've also reviewed, like, I don't know how many Star Wars movies reviewed now, but we've also reviewed a whole bunch of other movies.
We've done all the prequels, definitely, and I think we did 9 on the show, and then we did 8 on the Patreon.
Yeah.
So we have, I think, 4 of them?
We haven't done 4, 5, 6, or 7.
because those are objectively the good ones.
They're objectively the boring ones. So, Sean, what I decided to do was, what I've been doing for the last few weeks in terms of the reports at Hero Zero is, as you know, years. What I've been doing is I've been picking characters that obviously very strong links to a certain thing happening in the world at this time. Now, I chose an Easter bunny, a bunny around Easter weekend. And then, what did I choose last time?
You chose the Floronic Man because of 420.
420. And it was 420. Creed. But Sean, it's getting tougher.
What else is going on in the world right now?
This new plan I had.
Are you doing a Cinco de Mayo themed hero? Okay.
No. I think you're going to like this link, right? It's the best one.
It's tenuous.
Right? So I've almost given up on this idea 3 weeks in. But we're going to power through because May 2nd, Sean, and you might not know this, but May 2nd is actually The Rock's birthday.
Is it now?
So, I've already done Black Adam. So that ruled him out. That annoyed me. But then I thought, what if, because it's May 5th, pretty close, almost like the same week as the birthday. Just spare with me, Sean. The link is here.
What is happening?
It's loose.
Why did I pick this week to get rid of the hatred?
I was really happy that you did, because this week I've chosen a character from DC whose powers involve moving rocks.
Oh my Jesus. Because it's close to Dwayne Johnson's birthday and his wrestling name was The Rock.
I see no problems. Yes, that is exactly
I see only dollar signs right now, Connor.
I told you, it was getting difficult.
How are we going to market this show? What's going to happen?
But Sean, here's what I've cleverly done, is I've actually also linked it perfectly in line with one of the most famous comic book stories of all time in terms of DC comics, which you've probably heard of, known as the Judas Contract, because I am going to be doing Terra, a character from the Judas Contract series, written by Marv Wolfman and George Perez.
Marv Wolfman
from Big Wheel fame.
I'm back in. I'm back on board, folks.
Right. So, have you ever... Do you know much about Terra?
He is... Okay, so in Kingdom Hearts,
it's
Birth by Sleep...
But it's Terra Markov. Okay.
Right, okay, no. Then no, it's a different Terra I'm thinking of.
Terra Markov, there's two different versions distinct for... I'm not going to do any of the new 52. I'm just going to mostly base this around the character, first iteration, and the one that appeared in the Judas Contract. And secondly, I'm going to do it the comic book version, because there's actually, in the Teen Titans animated show, Tara is actually in that as well, and it's a really heartbreaking, lovely story. She's in it for 5 episodes. It's like a 5-episode long arc, and they do it really, really, really well. Comic book Tara is an absolute fucking dickhead, though, so doesn't have a lot of the softness or like the 3D character, mostly just a dickhead.
On the surface, a prick, and then you could dig beneath.
Because
the
cartoon
surface,
version is like a troubled person who's just like really down on their luck and
just
like
needs some help.
Comic book version, no, not at all. But to start us off, Sean, I know you've seen Young Justice. This comes up in this big time,
cover to cover, front to back.
Do you know the Kingdom of Markovia in the DC comics?
Do I ever not know what that is, Connor?
Where's Doctor Doom from?
Latveria.
Right, so basically Markovia is Latveria in DC.
Okay. Thanks.
I knew this is how we talk to him. Right? So it's just a made-up country in the middle of Eastern Europe.
Cool.
And the King of Markovia... everyone who's royal in Markovia has the superpowers to do with rocks. They can move rocks. They have those powers. It's like passed down generation to generation. And the King of Markovia, they have a royal family, and their son is also known as Geoforce, who is a hero in the Young Justice season 3, Yeah, season three. Shut up. Take it season three. It could have been season one. You'd be like, yeah, season three.
Yeah, it's definitely.
You're the worst. But Geo-Force, who's in that show. But not only do they have a son called Geo-Force, he can also move rocks. But the King of Markovia, he was a bit of a devil shot because he didn't just enjoy the Queen's company. He enjoyed a few people's company.
Some of his friends and colleagues, was it?
Some of his friends and colleagues, yes. Because the King of Markovia had an affair, which resulted in him having an illegitimate daughter named Tara Markov. Now, King doesn't like this. Doesn't like the fact that illegitimate child.
The Queen doesn't like it either, to be fair.
Yeah, it's not going to look good. Royalty only wants inbred kids. They do not want kids from outside.
The only way to preserve the bloodline. Everyone tune in to the coronation of I'm not getting into it.
We're Irish. We're allowed to do this. Right? Have you ever seen that comment that was in, I think it was the Irish Independent or the Irish Telegraph or something, and it was like, living in Ireland with the royalty in England is like, you have a next door neighbour who loves clowns and is always talking about clowns and has loads of pictures of clowns everywhere, and they're always just like, why don't you like clowns? And then you just remember that your great granddad was killed by a clown.
Yeah, so they keep talking about it like it's the best thing ever.
Basically that, right? That was printed in one of our newspapers. That is the vibe.
That's a published work right there, folks.
That got the go-ahead. Well, the King decided that it would be best to send Tara away to the United States, get her out of Markovia, to prevent his public image from being ruined. Nice man.
Nice man did everything he could for his actual biological daughter.
She did inherit the earth-moving powers, similar to Geo-Force, her brother, and with the help of a doctor named Helga Jace, Tara gained control. How much the doctor helped Tara in gaining control hasn't really been explained much, neither of which was the process to do it, but Tara basically got her powers. And so she left Markovia with a lot of hate and anger towards her father and the fact that she was an illegitimate daughter, which, to be fair, very well placed anger because he's a bit of a fucking dickhead.
He's a bit of a divil. A divil is too charming. He's an arsehole.
He did the dirty. You got to live with the fucking consequences, like. But when she was 15 years old, she decided that she would use her powers in America to do illegitimate work for people. Maybe some sort of assassination, some crimes.
I was thinking she was going to, like, help out on a building site, like...
No. Like, she's got a lot of anger and hate. She's got superpowers, so she's like, I can make a lot of money from doing this.
I mean, I guess if you have someone that can control rock or the earth, that's pretty good in a fucking heist.
Yeah. And so her criminal life, basically, she was always hired out by the assassin. So an assassin would hire her out after being hired for a job. So say you get hired to kill children and you're like, I'm an assassin but I don't want to do it. You would then give her a cut. You would give her the money to half and she'll do the job for you.
Because they have the reputation of, like, they have the contracts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then she will actually do the dirty work.
She will get to half the contract but remain
That's
unknown,
fucked.
Right? Yeah, she's like real bad, right? Remember I said, comic book Tara, complete bitch. Right?
Yeah.
All the way through. Right?
She's never redeemed.
Never redeemed, right? But her criminal life led her to accept a contract that had been declined by Deathstroke himself.
Ooh, world's greatest assassin, Deathstroke.
His famous assassin, Deathstroke, and he's going to come in big time into this story.
Okay.
And so if you haven't read the Judas contract, you don't know where this is going. If you have, you know exactly where this is going. So he was had a contract to kill an African king. Tara decided to come close to the king and his family and basically became friends with all of them because she's only 15, 16, 15. She's very young looking.
She's not perceived as a threat, basically.
And she becomes friends with maybe one of the children and then that's how she gets inside.
Sinister.
And, you know.
Very sinister.
And then she ends up killing the king, like the contract wanted. However, during the mission, Tara and Deathstroke had an affair while she was doing it.
Sorry, can I... what?
Yeah, 16-year-old Tara.
He...
yeah.
Is he... he fought in Vietnam, right?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Right. And
he's about 40.
Oh, no.
Actually, no, he has de-aging stuff, so yeah, nobody knows what age.
No, but he's still a fucking... he's still eight. Like, he still has been on the earth for a few years.
To quote Marv Wolfman and George Perez, Perez is quoted as saying that she was created... I'm going to leave out a line that he said. Further, she was illustrated to look young and also elfin, so that when she's shown as having been in bed with Deathstroke and dressed very provocatively, there's a visual shock factor once you see that. So it's literally done on purpose for the shock factor of what you just displayed.
That, I don't like that though.
Mm.
They could have, like, she doesn't have to be 16 for that shock factor to be a thing. That also doesn't have to be a thing.
It doesn't. But, like, I'm just telling you the logic behind what they were doing.
Okay, what year was this that this was happening? Not that that makes it better, but...
it's 1984.
It's a very 90s move. It is a very early 90s move. 80s, sorry.
So he invited her to become his partner on a vendetta against the new Teen Titans. So now they're romantically involved and they're together, Sean. And he says,
She could be one of the Teen Titans. She's the same age.
Sean, this is great that you haven't read the comic. He's like, I've got this contract. I got to kill all the Titans. And, you know, you're very good and you're 16. I could use you. You're perfect.
I'll kill a kid. I'll have sex with a kid.
I don't give a fuck. I'll kill any kid, right? So Tara decides to accept the offer and takes the code name Terra, which is T-E-R-R-A.
Very close to her actual name, though, to be fair.
Pretty close, yeah. And at the same time, she and Deathstroke invented a story that involved Tara being a prisoner of terrorists. And now we come on to Tales of the Teen Titans number 42, the start of the Judas Contract, because it was a four-part storyline originally printed in 1984 and is probably, I mean, one of the most important DC stories of all time. It's the story that put the Teen Titans on the map. And
I know of it. I don't know the ins and outs of the story,
well,
but
the fact
I know...
that you know of it is testament to the fact that it's that famous.
Right, okay. Yeah, it's like... be the equivalent of like a civil war in Marvel.
Yeah, it's known because of how famous it is and how much it did in that one story. So, like, I also have to reveal the big twist, but you know what's coming. Because Beast Boy, the synopsis is that... also, by the way, in the Judas Contract, that was where we would find out Deathstroke the Terminator's backstory as well. So it's in that story. So when we did the Deathstroke report, all of that, or like 60% of it, comes from the Judas Contract story itself.
Okay, so yeah, all of his background and the experiments and stuff, and his wife and his handler kind of situation.
Exactly.
Right.
And so Beast Boy, he one day just decides, he sees Terra, and it's just this 16-year-old girl in New York, and she's around the Statue of Liberty and she's using her powers. She tries to destroy the Statue of Liberty, I think. And he's like, why are you using your powers for that? Like, you could be good. And Beast Boy has a bit of a crush on Terra immediately. Oh, okay. So he's like, why don't you come join my gang? Like, we could totally help you out. She's like, I'm just a 16-year-old. I've got no family. I've got no friends.
And he's like, perfect. You'll fit right in.
You'll fit right in. We're all fucking orphans, right? It was soon after joining that Beast Boy basically starts to have romantic feelings, which may have blinded him to how easy it was to get her to join. Yeah. This superpower person, just 16-year-old, is just in New York and just turns up one day and is like, I've got nowhere else to go. What a coincidence. You found me.
Would Beast Boy have been the only one that would have invited her back? Like, Robin, I'm assuming, wouldn't have. Even Dick Grayson, I feel like.
So this is Dick Grayson, Robin.
Yeah.
But this is also the exact moment in comics when Robin is no longer exists and Nightwing doesn't exist. Because Nightwing, Sean, was introduced in the Judas Contract as well.
I see
how important all of this
God, is. God, it's a very pivotal story to DC.
Marv Wolfman, smart man. George Perez, smart man. So Beast Boy invites her back and is like, you can come join our gang. And it was also during this time that she also reunited with her half-brother Geo-Force when the new Teen Titans and Batman and the Outsiders confronted the Fearsome Five together in a storyline. And they were like, Geo-Force is good. And, like, she's related to Geo-Force.
Powers. Sister.
Same powers.
It's perfect.
And it'd be great because she's a bit younger than him and we can have her in our team and he can be in the Batman and the Outsiders team. It's fucking perfectly set up.
From a publication standpoint, did the readers know she was working with Deathstroke at this time?
No. I don't think so. I'm trying to remember. It's been a few years.
Yeah.
I know the reveal comes in a certain scene later on and I'm trying to remember if it happens before. Maybe it does. Maybe it does get revealed slightly before that. The Judas contract shortly begins. Dick Grayson and Wally West have officially retired from active service. Dick Grayson's at a complete loss, doesn't know what he is because he's not Robin, and he hates Batman and he doesn't want to be Robin, but he doesn't know who he is, and so he's just like, what the fuck am I?
And he still wants to help people. And
existential crisis, Dick Grayson. And so he's no longer calling himself Robin, but he's still involved in Titans activity and he's still like running the center. He's like sending them on missions, but he's not going himself. And the group's most recent protege, Terra Markov, is not a full-fledged Titan, but has certainly won the heart and mind of Beast Boy. None of the Titans suspect that she has been secretly spying on them on behalf of her partner, Deathstroke the Terminator. Terra has been feeding Terminator important information regarding the Titans, including their secret identities, their fears, what
Jesus.
Their worst situations would be, their weaknesses.
Beast Boy just fucking invited her in.
Yeah.
Like, just let her in by the hand. Like.
Because, like, why would you think that? Because Deathstroke's a bastard, right? So during a training exercise, the Titans begin to learn how mentally unstable she actually is, as after enduring numerous playful jokes from Beast Boy, she unleashes a massive attack that nearly cripples him. The other Titans calm her down, but it's Raven who realises that there's something seriously wrong with this girl, because Raven can sense that shit. And she's like, and obviously Raven and Beast Boy also go on to have like a romantic connection in the comics. But at this point, I don't even think this is jealousy. I think she's just like, she's fucking mad because I'm part of a demon. And even I'm like, what the fuck?
I'm like, I'm getting bad vibes from her. So,
like entering in the demons inside me. Right. So once Terra acquires all the information she needs, she informs Deathstroke, who then systematically takes down each one of the Titans one by one. He first strikes at the apartment penthouse shared by Donna Troy and Corey Anders, Starfire.
Dumbest name in the world, by the way.
Corey Anders. He incapacitates Corey with a high-yield bomb. And then he renders Donna unconscious with a gas mixture. So he knocks the two of them out. He then takes out Cyborg by electrifying a chair in his apartment. The high voltage shorts out Vic's systems long enough for Deathstroke to collect him as well. So he takes out the whole team, right?
Yeah.
He takes out Beast Boy because he gives him like something that is poisoned. And it basically makes him unconscious. He eats something that's poisoned, makes him unconscious. He's out.
It's probably the least involved one. Just put food
least
in front
involved
of Beast
one, but he's
Boy
like,
and
Beast
he'll
Boy's
eat
a fucking
it.
Idiot. He'll just eat it. It's fine. The last person that he tries to take out is the person who's not even a superhero anymore, but Mr. Richard Grayson, who he knows is important to the team. So he's like, well, I'm going to leave him to last. He doesn't even have powers. Who gives a shit?
Oh, it's a classic move of underestimating the Batman character.
He doesn't even have an outfit. He doesn't even have a costume anymore.
He doesn't even have a name anymore.
He's just Dick Grayson. He's walking around in jeans, right? And so...
Oh, they're fucking tight jeans, though, aren't they?
Oh, they are tight. They're tight. He then tries to take down Dick Grayson at his apartment. So he turns up at the apartment, surprises Dick, and just tries to take him in. But is surprised when the one non-powered Titan manages to elude him. And he can't understand what's happened.
Outstanding.
frustrated, he goes to the Hamptons, and that's when he gets Beast Boy. So he's frustrated by Dick Grayson. He's like, fuck this, right, I'm going to go get Beast Boy and get him in. So with everyone but one of the Titans captured, he brings them back to the Rocky Mountain headquarters, and his employers, the Hive, so the Hive are like this overarching evil organization, they hire Deathstroke to kill the Titans, basically.
Right, are they like Hydra?
Yeah. Cool. For this report, to make it simple, yes.
They are villains, basically.
Oh, bad dudes, right?
Cool.
So they hire Deathstroke, which, I mean, implies they're bad people at the moment, but they hired him to kill the Titans, because the Titans keep stopping them from doing crimes.
Wow, how dare those children?
So Deathstroke brings everyone but Dick Grayson to the cave, and is just like, I'm after completing my contract. But the thing is, his son Grant, do you remember from the report?
Yes,
Grant died,
this.
But Grant's contract that he was with was the Teen Titans contract.
Yes.
So Grant takes up the Teen Titans contract, he dies, Slade is like, I'm going to take it over and I'm going to complete that contract for my dead son.
I'm getting revenge, yeah.
But Hive criticise him for failing to bring them Robin. So these are just like, you forgot one. Why did you forget
objectively
one?
The most important one.
So meanwhile, Dick Grayson, having discovered that all of his former teammates have been captured, returns to Titan's Tower. There he is greeted by Slade Wilson's wife, Adeline Kane. The Terminator, ex-wife at this point. She introduces him to her mute son, Joey, otherwise known as Jericho.
We've talked about Jericho before.
You have heard of Jericho. So Adeline tells Dick that Terry is a traitor to the team. She's betrayed them all, and they're all captured because of her, and has been secretly working with her husband since the moment the Titans first met her. Dick is incredulous at first, but then he slowly starts to believe the story. After she provides him a comprehensive history on Slade Wilson and all of those past and how he became the Terminator, and that's how we get the backstory.
Nice.
Adeline's son Joey, who is a mutant from birth, he has the power to possess people. I've actually done a report on Jericho. Very cool character. He's able to just transfer his soul. I suppose soul.
Consciousness.
Consciousness is a better word. He's able to transfer his consciousness to other beings. And he's eager to help Dick rescue the Titans. So, realizing that he can never truly retire from superheroing, Dick adopts a new costume and identity and calls himself Nightwing, and then brings Joey along and says, fuck it, we're going to the Hive headquarters, because Adeline just told him where it was.
Nice. Nice. And is it there, like, because Nightwing is Superman gave him the name, right? Isn't that a thing? Or is that in newer comics?
He gave him the name, but the costume is here. I think it's retroactively Superman gives him the name. I think that's in a Nightwing annual. I don't know which annual it's in, but I know it's in a story that it's retroactively that Superman gave him the idea.
Yeah. Cool. And now he's on a warpath.
So Nightwing and Jericho go to the Hive base. They sneak into the facility and discover that all the Titans have been strapped to a giant machine, which is slowly siphoning away their life energy. Perfect villain story.
Love it. Why not just siphon it all at once?
Why not? Don't do it. Slowly, I say. Nightwing and Jericho fight through the horde of Hive shock troops, but are eventually captured. So they get captured as well. Mm-hmm. The Terminator is very surprised. The Deathstroke is very surprised to see his son with the Titans. He didn't even know, like, he hadn't seen his son in years. And he tries to bargain with Hive to let him go. He's like, you can keep the rest of them, but Joey's not powering us. Like, you gotta let Joey go.
You gotta let Joey go, come on.
he wasn't part of the original contract, come on now. The Hive refuses, however, and Jericho takes this opportunity to possess his own father. So he releases it, they don't know that he has this power. He releases it, he takes over Deathstroke.
Deathstroke.
And using Deathstroke's body, he frees the other Titans and begins fighting Hive. But Terra is still here, and Terra doesn't actually know that Joey or Jericho has this power. So it looks to her like Deathstroke has just turned on her and
right.
all of the Hive.
the mission.
Betrayed the ball for his son, who now she's like, he thinks his son, who he hasn't spoken to, is more important to me, who me and him are like a romantic item. How
yeah,
fucking
which is still
dare
pretty
he.
Fucked. Like, but
yeah,
still. We're
still pretty fucked. But in her head, she's like, my father betrayed me, and now Deathstroke has betrayed me. I don't give a fuck about any of these people. I'm willing to kill everyone here.
Yeah, and she nearly like severely injured Beast Boy just in like a training exercise. So now don't she actually has motivation behind her?
So she thinks that his affection for Joey makes him weak, and she loses complete control of her sanity and yearns for nothing more than the death of everyone in the room. Beast Boy refuses to believe that Terra has gone bad and is certain that this Deathstroke has brainwashed her, because Beast Boy is still a good person to the very end, and is just like, she must have been brainwashed.
Wants to see the best in everyone, but Jesus,
exactly.
Take a hint.
Terra's powers rage out of control until finally she causes a mountain of earth and debris to collapse down from the ceiling, trying to basically pile everyone into debt, right? Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, everyone who's important, Deathstroke and all the Titans, they get away, and she ends up killing herself in the process.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the end of her life.
She'd rather bring the mountain down on top of herself. That she's that angry. She's lost control of that much of her powers.
Fuck. So, yeah. So in the comics, there was no saving her. She was always just going to...
No, so... So how it was written was the fact that Perez is actually quoted saying that she was created to be a traitor and to have a finite existence. So
right.
She's created with the exact thing to be a traitor, to cause all of these story plot points and then die.
That is kind of refreshing in a character to be like, no, they exist to serve a purpose, and then we're never, like, we're not doing
anything.
Oh,
they brought her back multiple times.
Oh, I'm fully sure. But from her inception, you could have left it there and it would have been fine.
Oh, yeah, once Wolfman and Perez stepped away, the next writer was like, the Judas contract sold loads of fucking issues. Let's have that comic book cover of Terra coming back.
Because everyone will love that. Everyone will universally love that.
Yeah, the Titans bring Terra's body back to New York for the burial. And the funeral service is small, and only the Titans and the Outsiders are in attendance. The Titans let Terra's brother Geo-Force believe that she actually died heroically while fighting the Hive.
That's kind of sweet.
It's kind of
nice. I like that.
So that is the end of the Judas contract, but you can understand even from those issues. By the way, just to reiterate, it is... a four-part storyline. Four issues.
And a lot all happens. That. Like, because what? Like, how long is a comic in pages? Like, what? Like, 20, 30, depending?
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of ground to cover. And a lot of fucking seminal moments to just have appear.
Well,
like,
Deathstroke the character, Nightwing the character, and Deathstroke's hatred and rivalry with the Teen Titans is born in four issues.
Like, it's...
And given massive depth because of the betrayal and everything.
Yeah, and they still have time to set up a backstory for Terra herself.
Yeah.
And everything like this.
Exactly. Like, so Terra
I assume you're dealing with Nightwing's, like, fucking crisis as well? Like,
oh, yeah.
All that emotional
he's involved,
stuff?
Oh, yeah. He's like, I don't know, I don't have any place in the world. What's going on? So in terms of powers and abilities, Terra has the ability of geokinesis, exhibiting... psychokinetic control over the earth and minerals. While she can control massive amounts of earth and rock, shaping it to her will, she has also revealed an incredible amount of fine control, making artistic shapes or even transmuting raw materials into different crystalline forms. So her primary forms of mobility include flying on a rock platform or extremely quick tunneling. So she can basically just control all sorts of earth.
Yeah, like in M. Night Shyamalan's The Last Airbender. Like the Earthbender's in that, correct?
Yes, basically that, yeah. And that is my report on Terra, who got me to talk about the Judas contract, which is also a very good story, and you should go read it.
That's genuinely a very good report. It's also a very good way of talking about a story arc through a character. And I'm definitely stealing that in the future.
Because I could have got into like the new 52 version, or she came back in like 1992, but then they had like a different body, but they put her memories into the separate... I'm not interested in that shit.
So much worse.
Nah. I want the original, even if she's a fucking awful person. At least let her live and die as an awful person.
Yeah, and the fact that you set up so much other stuff and like develop other characters in her story just kind of adds to it.
Yeah, and also, she's in Young Justice. So she is. So
everyone should watch Young Justice, guys. It's really
up,
good.
Sean. She's in Young Justice. Sean, that is the end of my report. Would you like to take us out?
Yes, thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Hero or Zero. We'll be back on Wednesday with weird news. Next Friday, I'll be doing a Hero or Zero, and we'll do movie stuff eventually. Big thank you to everyone over on Patreon, patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast. Link to that is in the description. If you want to support us over there, check out the Star Wars review. It's real, real good. We had a lot of fun doing it. There's also Detective Divilment's discussion group on Facebook. Twitter's at Heroes for Hire Pod. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. TikTok is also Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just a one, please.
I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Meehan.
I shall see you all next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.